Talking about legends, Dean Lester, it's a very good morning to you.
Good morning, Gareth.
And your dog, Tommy Shelby, never let you down last Saturday night in his heat of the Australian Cup.
No, he was magnificent, wasn't he? He's got to come from box four tomorrow night, but he's a star and very, very good bit of video work from you, Gareth, on Saturday night, getting a bit of a selfie for me with Tommy Shelby. Fantastic.
It was quite amazing, actually. Steve Withers says that Tommy actually takes your quaddy on a Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, he's pretty smart, Tommy, so I don't doubt that for a second.
Hey, Mr. McLaughlin, it's a very good morning to you. Tigalong Tonk didn't let you down, the Tonk.
No, Tigalong was outstanding. G'day to you, Gareth, and to you, Dino, and everyone listening.
Our topic of conversation today, before we introduce your Hall of Fame nominee this week, Hamish, is David and Goliath sporting moments. And there's so many to choose from.
I really like it. We've sort of been talking amongst ourselves all this week, and it's really been on the back of Still a Star, Gareth, on the basis that a tiny little horse from Tasmania is going to come over and take on the world in the All-Star Mile for Bill Ryan after getting enough votes, given people fell in love with the story that Bill's terminally ill. And to give him a thrill, she'll be running, and she was outstanding on Wednesday.
All right, then, 0416905052 to join our conversation, or let us know via Twitter and just tweet us at RSN927. But we'll start off with you, Hamish, as we do every Friday, regarding your Hall of Fame.
There's three going in this week, Gareth. Okay. I'm going to skip through the first two and leave the big dog until the end. But Still a Star goes in just on the basis that I was so pleased to see her win first up after just over a year to get Bill Ryan into the All-Star Mile and something to really live for. So Still a Star makes it 8 from 13, 5 seconds, never finished further back from second, into the Hall of Fame. So too, Jimmy Johnson, who passed away on Thursday, aged 92, three cup wins, a couple of Cox Plates, a Caulfield Cup. He, on that basis alone, should really become a legend of the RSN Hall of Fame. But the last one that I'm going to induct is probably not as well known to many as Still a Star in recent times, or Jimmy Johnson, but 18 years of extraordinary, distinguished service for the TAB. His crosses have become a part of all our lives. And to try and compare the greats is filled with danger. But our inductee this week is to TAB crosses what Ayrton was to Formula One, MJ to basketball, Roger to tennis, Brady to the NFL, Pele to soccer, and the great Chas Michael Michaels to ice skating. I talk about the champ.
The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here! The champ is here!
So Slugger, the champ, or simply Trent. Trent Langscale goes into the RSN Dean and Hamish Hall of Fame. Trent, well done on a huge career.
Thank you for that, Hamish. That's quite an accomplishment. I'm quite touched by that. And I will say that I'm glad you actually brought up the first subject there, Ayrton Senna, in Formula One, because he is my favourite Formula One driver throughout his career. I was just young enough where I couldn't watch most of the Formula One races, but I do remember the morning of his passing when my dad did wake me up. I didn't see the race live, and it was horrifying to find out about that. And I've seen the documentary, and he was just it for me. I know Michael Schumacher's come along, and Sebastian Vettel, and to the recent time, Lewis Hamilton. But for me, Ayrton Senna was the one and will always be the one. I was quite touched by that, Hamish. Thank you very much. And to yourself and Dean, I know that a lot of stuff gets sent out to yourselves that wouldn't go out to the public, and your inboxes are going to be a little bit less come tomorrow. But I thank you again, and it's just been great throughout this morning. And the best part about it is that just to speak to the listeners and help out in some small way, shape or form, whether they're just looking to get some assistance in regards to their betting. Obviously, when you've got Dino, you've got Warren Huntley, Gator, and everyone else that, whether it be Michael Felgate or Gareth speaks to, they're more highly recognised. Just like to help out, and I just love talking about sport and racing, so thank you very much.
Oh, well, just Dean and I ran some numbers. 18 years, 363 days a year. You've missed Good Friday and Christmas Day because you've just got lethargy in you. 11 crosses a day, which is 3,993 crosses. 18 outcomes across is 75,867 potential winners over the journey. And Dino sort of highlighted it, never mumbled a word, stumbled over a pronunciation, always very upbeat and positive. Well done to you, Slugger.
Absolutely, and about 4 million emails. So no, it's been fantastic to work with Trent. And Trent was with me with my favourite racing moment ever. He was right beside me when the quarterback won the 2016 Newmarket. So we shared a very special moment that day.
Yes, and I've been lucky. I mean, I've seen Hamish in the mounting yard when Seven had the coverage all the way through to the Melbourne Cup Carnival. But the time, and again, this is thanks to the station, RSN, and also Sky Racing that have helped, particularly in the last 5 years, that the opportunity to work with Dean, especially during the Spring Carnival, and it did develop into the autumn, depending on circumstances, when I was lucky enough to go to the States. But to be in the mounting yard with Dino when Prince of Penzance won the Melbourne Cup, I can understand listening last year when Twilight Payment, rode by Jai McNeil, won the Melbourne Cup, and everyone on Carnival heard the emotion in Dean, how much it meant to him. But I still remember being in the mounting yard when Prince of Penzance won. And Dino understood the moment with Michelle Payne, the first female to ride a Melbourne Cup winner. And then, lucky enough on one side, Warren Huntley, one of Dino's great mates, on the other, when the quarterback did win the Newmarket Handicap. And one for a great mate of Dino in Robbie Griffiths. And it was just those moments which you treasure.
Yep. What are you going to miss most about your job, Trent, working with the TAB?
Oh, it's just the interest. I mean, I'm lucky enough, I do get to see a lot of information come through. And, I mean, I was sitting at home, was it three Wednesdays ago now, when one of our bigger punters just decided, and I just made sure how many zeros there were, when they had 115,000 at 225 on Novak Djokovic to win the title.
Okay.
It was about 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night. You're just sitting there and watching whatever was on.
So you never leave your computer. You're making sure that you look at your computer all the time in case a bet comes up like that.
You just never know, because sometimes it just comes out of the clear blue sky and there's bets on all manner of factors. We were talking Super Bowl day when mentioned the fact that someone had 1,000 on Bernie Tomic to win the Australian Open. Sometimes the bet, you do even sit there and you do scratch your head sometimes, but that's what makes it great, because we do have those punters that, yes, there are some on a much larger scale that are successful, but then there are the ones that they just put their $10 in, and maybe one round in an AFL season, they manage to snag the four of the first goal kickers in a round, and the $10 turns into $25,000, and you get it out there, and that person knows they won it, and it just gives them that bit of excitement.
Stay with us, Trent. You might as well stay with us for the whole show, Dan.
I was going to say, and as we heard this morning, the rap career is still alive and well, too.
Hey, we've got that clipped up, Dino, so we might play that towards the end. And we might see, Trent, have a think about this, some of the most ridiculous bets that you've come across.
Just go to my account, Trent, and have a look.
Haven't got access to it.
Don't lie, Trent. No, I'm joking. It's 10:43 here on RSN Central with Dean and Hamish. Of course, our topic is David and Goliath stories in sport. We'll kick it off with you, Hamish. You can bowl the first ball here.
Well, I'm going back to 1990 when Cameroon rocked the world by beating a Maradona filled Argentina in the World Cup. I mean, Cameroon was literally filled with amateurs. And Argentina had won the championship 4 years prior. It was being played in Italy. And some of the Cameroon players had to watch tapes of Argentina to know who they were going to be marking up on, because they were so sort of foreign to this level of play. And I was just reading through some articles. Let's not mistake it, stronger than our opponents. But the idea was that a team is not one good player next to another. A team is that one plus one can give you three, and we just had to add up to three on that day, and I still remember it really well.
Referee looks at his watch and blows the final whistle.
I think moments like that, Hamish, give everybody hope, don't they, really?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the nation, you know, we're so fortunate where we are, but they ended up and went through to the quarterfinals and stood within 7 minutes of the final four. They got beaten in Naples at the hands of England. But I just remember falling in love with Roger Miller, who, you know, he was a veteran at that point and he was, you know, well into his career. But every time they went out, I was sort of suddenly a Cameroon fan. For, you know, the golf in quality on paper was staggering. Argentina was the world champs and Cameroon were, you know, given no chance in a two-horse race.
All right, Dino.
Gareth, I'm going to 1990, and it was the State of Origin, Victoria versus Tasmania. Tasmania had only played State of Origin once in 1960 and then was virtually ignored until 1989. They got beaten in 1989 by Victoria, but winter afternoon on a Sunday at North Hobart Oval, 18,651 people saw the unlikely happen, and it was Tassie beating Victoria.
Langford, sensing the danger drifting across, takes the mark. There's the siren. There's the gloom. There's the elation. 2014 Tasmania.
They were 20 goals, 14, as Dennis rightly said, 134, beating the might of the Victorian team, 14-17, 101, and certainly probably one of Tassie footy's proudest days, Hame.
Back then, also, Dino, I remember when Tony Hall kicked the banana from the pocket for South Australia to beat Victoria, we would all just base our month around those State of Origin matches. I know for some younger listeners now, perhaps they don't understand what State of Origin meant, but it was everything. I mean, we would try and play a might against Victorians as a South Australian and show that we could match it. And for Tasmania, it seems, you know, pretty pertinent you bring it up, given that they're pushing hard for an AFL team. But you can't really understate how important State of Origin matches were at the time.
No, exactly right. And, whether it was the Tuesday afternoons watching the WA versus Victoria or Tuesday night South Australian Victoria, you really wanted to see those matches. And you know, there was a very good Victorian team that went down to North Hobart Oval that day, and they got well and truly beaten.
What price, Trent, would have Tassie been that day?
Well, they would have been probably $10, $11. The scary part about that particular year, Gareth, was it was only, I think, a month or two earlier that Victoria also lost to New South Wales ACT at the SCG. It was a wet, I think, Tuesday night. The Danaher's all playing for New South Wales ACT, and that was John Longmire. That was his big night, and that was the year that he won the Coleman Medal in 1990. And that, after Victoria lost to Tasmania, it was only, I think, about a week later when they played Western Australia at the Wacker, beat them, and that was the famous Ted Whitten stuck it right up them quote. That's where that came from when they beat WA.
Sensational stuff. Yeah, I thought that was a South Australia game when Teddy Whitten said that.
That was WA at the Wacker.
WA. How dare I doubt you, Trent. My David Goliath moment is War Admiral taking on Seabiscuit in the late 1930s, and this was in one of the papers there. It said, the race gave people a temporary respite from a daily hardships caused by the Great Depression. Seabiscuit was the underdog, the Cinderella man of racing. He was the horse from the other side of the tracks who became a champion. War Admiral was the regal ruler of racing, the son of the great man of war. And, of course, he just won the Triple Crown. He was the defending horse of the year, and this is what happened on this particular day.
They've got 200 yards to come. It's horse against horse. Both of them driving. Seabiscuit leads by a length. Now Seabiscuit by a length and a half. Wolf has put away his whip. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit by three. Seabiscuit is the winner by four lengths.
Still one of my favourite moments of a movie there, Dino.
Just sounds like Jack Little from the wrestling days calling the race. But Seabiscuit, he'd worked well leading in, according to TikTok McLaughlin, Haim.
Yeah, played by
William H. Macy.
Fargo. William H. Macy, who's super in everything, including Boogie Nights. But I was doing some reading on this yesterday when Gareth was going to put it forward, and 40 million people around the world tuned in to listen. And at that time, Franklin Roosevelt was president of the United States. He broke a cabinet meeting, so all of the businesses that were sort of involved and all of those around the place, including the politicians and the president himself, could sit and listen. And it was a bit of a geographical war. Watching that movie, it sort of was War Admiral, who was favourite of the established East Coast, versus these upstarts from the West Coast. And, you know, Charles Howard and Red Pollard, who didn't actually ride in the match race, was replaced by George Wolfe at the time, played by Gary Stevens in the movie, and Tommy Smith, who was sort of an unknown trainer. The whole thing was, you know, remarkable. The only thing that was probably comparable was that Charles Howard had done very well out of motor cars and had a few shillings, and the man that he was taking on was one of the wealthiest men in the world. So they, both owners had a few dollars, but the trainers and the jockeys and everything else came from very different worlds.
Dino, would you like to see that one day in Australian racing, like a match race like that?
Oh, it'd have to have the right sort of ingredients, but is it the best racing movie, Gareth?
Seabiscuit, there's Farlap. I think one of the
Secretariat was good, but yeah. I reckon Seabiscuit gets there in a bob.
I reckon the greatest scene in a racing movie is when Farlap is making his dash to get to Flemington for the Melbourne Cup, and Tommy runs him down down towards the mounting guard. That gives me goosebumps every time I watch that particular scene.
Yeah, you've got the music right, everything right there.
Well done. What about you, Trent?
John Malkovich is outstanding as Secretariat's trainer in Secretariat full stop. Yeah.
One of my other favourite scenes was Secretariat when he was battling a tooth problem.
Yeah.
And his strapper then at the racetrack yells out, "He's all right. You're not going to see anything like you haven't seen anything like this before."
Yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
It was one of my favourite scenes, Trent.
Seabiscuit for me.
Okay.
The cast, Jeff Bridges, fantastic. Toby Maguire is the jockey, well, most of the time there, of Seabiscuit. And, one of my absolute favourites.
All right,
the production values, the cinematography, amazing.
Yep. Loved every minute. Now, your turn again, Hamish. Take it away.
Well, I'm going to take over Target. And I just got a text in, Dino, from Josh Kay. Dennis Isterman beating... he says David Isterman beating Goliath Djokovic round two of the 2017 Australian Open. And the mayor of Perth, Basil Zemplis, Dennis Isterman is the man. Anyway, that's not where I was going. Take over Target. $1,250 purchase for, plus the $125 GST to go on with $6 million. By Celtic Swing, out of an unraced mare called Shady Stream, ruled out of racing for 30 months due to leg problems, never looking like he was going to go to the track. You know, trained by Joe, who was living in a caravan, and the horse sort of lived almost off the caravan. Jay Ford rode the horse, 39 of his 41 starts. Everything about it was unlikely. To go to the UK and win over there and meet Her Majesty, that was, for me, the ultimate in the sort of the David and Goliath struggles. And you know, not just winning in Australia. He came to Flemington after winning six on the bounce and then one down the straight and then one in the UK. And we'll speak about him on the other side of listening to him.
Take over Target, takes a lead with 150 to go. Recurring is after him. Lalando struggling, then Legally Bay and Strike Line. Take over Target in front. 7 out of 7 for this horse. Take over Target, brilliant, wins a length and a half.
But it's Take over Target near side, being swamped now. Ben Bourne flashing home. Dandy Man the far side, they hit it. Take over Target in a photo with Dandy Man the far side. Ben Bourne the near side.
I mean, Dino, he won at Queanbeyan first up, went to Wagga, Randwick, Rosehill, Gosford, Grafton, and then, as you heard Brian Martin call, won the Salinger, and then finished off that campaign, came back after a bit of a break, won the Summer Stakes and the Doomben Stakes and the Lightning Stakes back to back to back, and then had a third in the Oakley Plate, then won the Newmarket, then won the King's Stand. I mean, it was just an unbelievable campaign. And the story that I loved most was not a good horse, but how he gave Joe just a completely open door to the world.
Yeah, and he didn't shy away from anything. He carried top weight to win the Newmarket. He beat 27 rivals in that King's Stand when he went to Japan. It was on the very firm ground, and for a horse that had been unsound early in his life, that was a challenge. You know, unfortunately, he couldn't race in Hong Kong, but other than that, he just kept turning up.
When Hamish just talks about the story of Take Over Target, it's extraordinary, really, isn't it? It's like, it's hard to believe that actually happened, Dino.
Nearly impossible to believe. To think that, look, he was a really smart young horse, but couldn't get to the races. So people knew of him that he trialled well, but he kept obviously going sore or going amiss, and virtually he went to the sale, the tried sale, unraced for virtually 4 year old, and probably never to see his ability, but we did get to see it eventually.
And he was crowned Global Sprint Challenge champion for 2006 with 53 points ahead of his next competitor. I mean, it was just extraordinary. The other thing, Dino, and only you will know this, so of his 41 starts, Jay Ford rode 39 times. Who were the other two that jumped on board?
Well, Nashua Willa won the TJ Smith on him.
Tick.
And I should know.
A jockey taller than me.
Trent might know.
A jockey taller
Stephen
than me
Arnold. Stephen
classic.
Arnold rode him in the Age
Bang.
Classic.
Bang.
Yeah.
There you go.
Did you know that, Trent?
I didn't have it.
Yeah. Okay.
But you, we keep.
I think he's tuned out already.
I think a bit in. Yeah, he's just looking at his Instagram account going through the roof. But the other part about the story, which I think we forget a bit, was the horse, absolutely. Joe, absolutely. But Jay, without being too disrespectful, wasn't considered to be the guy that should go and ride a good horse at Ascot.
No, but he's forged out a very good career on the back of it and still riding winners even today. Yeah.
I was thinking when we're talking about Still a Star and then the Joe Janiak story with Takeover Target, this could be another topic of conversation maybe next week, but horses and their trainer that meant a lot to each other, like they were basically inseparable, like it was a team, if you know what I mean, Dino.
Yep, there's certainly there's a lot of those, and that team, they were as you said, virtually inseparable.
Like Tommy and Farlap, basically.
Yes.
It was more of the strapper, wasn't it, than say the trainer than Harry. It was more Tommy and Farlap than Harry and Farlap in a way.
Yeah, seems that way. Yeah, absolutely.
All right,
like Steve and
Vic
Tommy
Rail
Shelby.
We'll get a mention next week then.
Which one?
Vic Rail will get a mention next week if we go down this line.
Yep.
And it would be appropriate on Australian Cup week.
And I think we'll save the last one for you, Dino, here.
Well, we've just spoken of a David versus Goliath who lined up and did it 20-odd times and all around the world. But this one was more of a one-hit wonder, but it was the 2007 Emirates Stakes and a horse called Tears I Cry, then trained by a very little-known trainer in Kieran Maher, former jumps jockey. Nikita Berryman riding really light on the horse. The horse had been beaten on the Tuesday in a benchmark 89 on Melbourne Cup Day and backed up in the Emirates on the final day of the carnival.
Here's Tears I Cry starting to join in with a big run down the outside, and Nikita Berryman hits the lead. Merchance is flashing home now. It's Tears I Cry in front though by a length and a half, a surprise, and Tears I Cry wins from Bird Dancer. Shinzinger's grab third, close four.
Incredible for all involved, the owner Anne McGrath, Kieran Maher, and Nikita Berryman just shooting to the spotlight on that day. The horse only won a couple more races, but on that day he was a Group 1 champion.
All right then. Yeah, I still remember that day, 100-1. Was he in your quaddy, Dino?
He actually was, but okay. I didn't have Hidden Strings at 50-1 in the next league, which was the setback.
Were you thinking about Hidden Strings?
Yes, I was.
Yep. There's nothing worse when you get a 100-1 win in your quaddy and you still miss it.
And it was the first league, so it was a long way home. Yeah, it's
2 minutes to 11 o'clock here on RSN Central. This is Dean and Hamish on this Friday morning. We'll take a quick break and then we'll come back, maybe with a favourite quote, but definitely Dino's Friday fill-up.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, but she knows that butt is stuffed. Deep in the jeans she's wearing, I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I wanna get with you.
Oh, there we go. Trent Lane's cool. Talking about legends, Dano. What a performance that was this morning.
Faultless display.
Yeah.
It is your go-to number, Trent, no doubt.
He loves it.
Well, when Jack Revolt took Mr. Brightside, you have to come up with alternatives, and 30 years still going strong, that, and Nicki Minaj used it for one of her hits.
I can't believe you haven't got a girlfriend, but if we keep playing that, that won't last too long. All right then, Hamish, what about famous quotes?
Cameron Diaz, just on that, Cameron Diaz dances brilliantly to that in Charlie's Angels at the Soul Train while her boyfriend Luke Wilson's watching. It's a good scene, should YouTube it. So, quotes. Dino, have we ever had Muhammad Ali on this show? Have we ever mentioned him?
The name rings a bell. Yeah, I think we have.
This is from...
You there, Hamish?
I'm just cutting out a bit.
Yeah, we just lost him. I don't know what he's trying to chat. I think he's I can see him still on the Zoom, Dino. We might go back to Hamish, but you want to have a chat about this Australian Cup, first run in 1986.
The Australian Guineas.
Australian Guineas,
Gareth,
sorry.
Yeah. Yes. There's only two races, I think, Group 1s that have sort of been invented in my lifetime, the Blue Diamond and the Australian Guineas. Both the first runnings were won by Angus Armanasco. We spoke about tolerance last week, and True Version won in 1986. 1986 was my HSC year, and I wrote my English essay about the first running of the Australian Guineas. Got a good mark, too.
What mark did you get, Dino?
Well, there's a bit of controversy about that, Gareth. Unfortunately, I fell ill in the third term of HSC, but I did get a very good mark for that essay on the Australian Guineas with True Version, Darren Gauchy beating Caledonian boy Shankill Lassenko. So it was, it's a race that sticks very fondly in my memory.
And Hamish is back now.
Sorry about that. I think the rapping took all my bandwidth down here on the farm. But in terms of quotes, this is Muhammad Ali. It's just a job. Grass grows, birds fly, waves pound the sand. I just beat people up.
Yeah.
Sort of summed up his career pretty succinctly there. It's just what I do.
He would probably be the sports person that would get quoted the most, along with George Best, of course.
I think he did a good job of preparing, you know, to get ready for those press conferences. I mean, sort of reminds me of Bear Bryant. He said, it's not the will to win that matters. Everyone has that. It's the will to prepare to win that matters. And he was always just so prepared, Ali, for the press conferences or the boxing ring.
Friday fill-up, Dino.
The Valley tonight, Gareth. We're going to take on a favourite here. Race 5, number 1, Snapper, I thought was really impressive last start. I thought it might pinch a break on Savannah Cloud and get the money. Race 5, number 1.
It's Slugger's Day, and hopefully it's Snapper's Day as well.
Let's hope so.
Trent, thanks for joining us. What was the most ridiculous bet that you found for us over your 18 years?
Gareth, I'll give the one that, being in the media room back in 2019 on Oaks Day and had a couple of journos on either side, because there are, from time to time, bets that you just have to see to believe. And I remember doing the media release for it, and I won't go through it verbatim, but the punter that had $1 and collected $34,992 when they backed Murder Glass at $8 to win the Caulfield Cup, Ligre Sir at $4.50 to win the Cox Plate, Warning at $9 to win the Victoria Derby, Vow and Declare at $18 to win the Melbourne Cup, and Miami Bound at $6 to win the Kennedy Oaks. A dollar outlay, $34,992. And it gave a chance to refer to Grey Sports Almanac from Back to the Future Part 2. That's the one where, when I saw it come through, I almost fell off the chair. Just amazing effort from the punter to basically jag a $35,000 collect from $1.
You'd be keeping that ticket and putting it in the pool room, wouldn't you, Haim?
I'd be trying to put a zero next to the one. I'd be flat as a biscuit that only risked the dollar.
Hey, Trent, you're a superstar. We love you here at RSN. You won't be a stranger to this station, but I know that you've had as many farewells as Johnny Farnham of late, but enjoy the rest of your day, Trent. We love you, and good luck tonight at your party that you're throwing.
The party that I'm not aware of, all right. Yes. The party's tomorrow night, Gareth, at the Meadows for the Tab Australian Cup and the Fanavale Superstars.
All right, then, Dino, good luck with Tommy Shelby.
Yes, we'll talk tomorrow, Gareth.
And good luck with Tigalong Tonk, Hamish.
Fingers crossed. Thanks, Gareth.